Good evening, everyone. I'm Linor Moudou. Welcome to Health Chat. The World Health Organization says six African nations, including Algeria and South Africa, could be malaria-free by 2020. A new study published in the Lancet Medical Journal says the world could be completely malaria-free by 2040. These are some good news there. The study reveals that the world saw a 91% decline in malaria cases and 81% reduction of death from 2000 to 2014. Observers say a lot is being done in the to advance the fight against malaria, including countries' commitment and engagement, as well as research and development. And we will discuss this topic on the program today with our guest. Our first guest is Dr. Richard Kamui. He is Elimination Aid Ambassador and a board member of the Roll Back Malaria Partnership. Dr. Kamui is also former Minister of Health of Namibia. And Dr. Kamui is joining us via phone from Windhoek, Namibia. Dr. Kamui, thank you so much for joining us.
You're most welcome. Good evening.
Good evening. It's great to have you. Also joining us via phone from Paris, France, is Franck Langevin. He's a Stanford and Dublin City University graduate in the fields of innovation, entrepreneurship, and international business. And Franck Langevin has also helped in the development of a new product called Faso Soap. He has supervised that project with the founders, the creators of the soap, and he will tell us more about it. Franck Langevin, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Great pleasure.
Good to have you. Let me remind the listeners, if you would like to participate in the program with questions or comments, you can call 202-619-3111. The U.S. country code is 1. You can ask your international operator to reverse the charges. You can also email us your thoughts at healthchat@voanews.com or post them on facebook.com/healthchatvoa, as always, and we will read them for our guest today. And we will discuss malaria in a second, what is being done by countries and innovators. But first, VOA's Joey DiCapua has this report.
The study in Malaria Journal mapped the locations of nearly 1,270 existing dams and compared their locations with the incidence of malaria. It concludes that more than 1 million people in sub-Saharan Africa will contract malaria this year because they live near dams. Researcher Matthew McCartney of the International Water Management Institute is the co-author of the report.
So we found that dams do have an impact on malaria because of the fact that they provide breeding habitat for mosquitoes and anopheles mosquitoes, which are the ones that carry malaria and are the hosts for malaria in people. The reservoir shorelines provide breeding habitat, and that therefore increases the number of mosquitoes around many, many reservoirs.
Dams create slow-moving or stagnant water, as well as shallow pools along shorelines. The study also considered the 78 major new dams being planned for sub-Saharan Africa.
There's a big push for socioeconomic development in sub-Saharan Africa, and a lot of that is centered around the construction of new dams.
If all are built, the number of new malaria cases could rise by 56,000 a year. McCartney says malaria risks should be considered in development plans.
We would argue that dam managers and planners and water resource development in general need to consider the fact that the infrastructure that they build has these impacts on malaria, and they need to do much more to try and mitigate these impacts.
The study makes a number of recommendations.
There are mitigation approaches, traditional approaches which center around treatment of malaria using bed nets, indoor residual spraying of people's homes. There are other things that can be done, such as modifying the water level within the reservoir. Where the mosquitoes breed, those areas dry out and the mosquito larvae die at certain times of year. Another possibility is actually to use fish. A particular fish will eat the larvae of mosquitoes.
The greater malaria risk falls within 5 kilometers of a dam's perimeter. That's nearly the flying range of the mosquitoes carrying the Plasmodium falciparum parasites that cause malaria. The biggest risk is in so-called unstable areas, where malaria is seasonal due to the rainy seasons. But McCartney says large dams are not the only source of mosquito breeding areas.
For example, small reservoirs, ponds, tanks, natural wetlands, natural lakes. And so although the absolute number that we found is very high, it's quite small in comparison to the total malaria burden across Africa. This is in comparison to 145 million cases of malaria a year across the whole of sub-Saharan Africa.
McCartney describes dams as an important option for governments anxious to develop. However, he says it is unethical that people living close to them pay the price of that development through increased suffering and possibly loss of life due to disease. Joe DiCapua, VOA News, Washington.
Gentlemen, again, thank you so much for joining us today. Dr. Kamwe, let me start with you. You attended on World Malaria Day, you attended an event in Addis Ababa where governments and supporters, stakeholders gathered to talk about the way forward with regards to fighting malaria. What can you tell us in terms of some of the highlights of what governments are looking into?
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. It was such an occasion that one would describe as quite historic, in the sense that it was for the first time that the AU at leadership level, the political will, took a center stage, that the African leaders, meaning the heads of state and government, have accepted that malaria must be eliminated on the African continent. And as such, they came up with a theme, ending malaria in Africa by 2030. By coming together and that looking at this theme, you will agree with me that it is quite an ambitious goal, and one that one may not think that it's achievable, but it's indeed achievable. It will require investment in both the scale-up of efforts in high-transmission areas, where malaria continues to be among the top causes of mortality, as well as protecting the gains in countries that have made great progress in driving down the disease and eliminating it altogether. This meeting brought all the malaria experts of the member states, where they deliberated and were addressed by, amongst others, the deputy chairperson of the AU Commission and the Minister for Health for Ethiopia. And yes, indeed, in my capacity as an E8 malaria, eight countries eliminating malaria in SADC had to address them. So basically, some of the issues that were addressed were issues related to accountability, issues related to the ownership, issues related to the investment in malaria. And yes, that if we all invest in malaria, we may see some changes. Investment in the malaria fight is one of the best buys in global health, second only to routine immunization. These were some of the areas that were touched. And that, yes, mosquito-borne diseases are a major cause of illnesses and deaths worldwide. And that we agreed that research and tools to fight malaria will help transform how we can combat other infectious diseases, such as Zika virus, for example,
yes,
and that other areas where that ending malaria transmission will increase the quality of life of millions of people on the African continent.
Absolutely, and Dr. Kamwe. There is so many different aspects that you guys touched on during that meeting, and we will come back to that and also talk about some of your experience as you were heading the Ministry of Health in Namibia. We'll come back to that. You mentioned something toward the end of your statement, and I want to second that in terms of research and tools, new tools and development. And that leads me to my other guest, Franck Langevin, who joins us from Paris. Franck, you have been very much involved in the in overseeing the development of one of the new tools in terms of fighting malaria. And this is the Faso soap. And perhaps Minister Kamwi, Mr. Kamwi, Dr. Kamwi, hasn't heard about it. Perhaps he had. But this is the time for us to know more about this innovative idea that some young men from Burkina Faso came up with. Can you tell us about the Faso soap?
Yeah, this project was initiated like 3 years ago by two African engineers, one from Burundi and the other one from Burkina Faso. I'm actually one of the French guys within the team. The idea that we're working on is to create a new prevention tool against prevention weapon, if you want, against malaria, and with the soap. I mean, the idea for us is just to create a mosquito repellent soap. So just to why we want to do that is that soap is almost everywhere in Africa. 95% of households have a soap that is used usually for obviously skin, but clothes and for the rest of the house cleaning. And the idea for us is that given that it's such a popular product found almost everywhere, why don't we use this product that is already massively distributed and make it repellent? So when kids and adults are using this soap, they would have some protection against mosquitoes, and this would be like a good complementary tool. I mean, with the other, obviously, other tools available to prevent or to treat malaria. So the idea for us is to create a new weapon.
A new weapon indeed. And what is the stage in the development of this soap? At what stage is this research?
We are right now still in the R&D phase. We're working in the National Research Center Against Malaria in Ouagadougou, Burkina Faso. Right now we're trying to find the best way to encapsulate repellent substances to make it efficient for 8 hours. The idea for us is that, as you might know, the Anopheles, the female mosquito that transmits the malaria parasite, is biting or transmitting the parasite between 5 p.m. to 1 a.m. usually, and that actually fits with in most countries where the kids are washed. So the idea for us is we need to have a soap that protect people during these 8 hours, as you know, with the maximum efficiency that we can find. So we're still testing and benchmarking many technologies, and we are also trying to make it the most efficient and the safest for these people.
Oh, that's very, very good. And we'll come back to the soap indeed. Dr. Kamwi, when you hear about an idea like that, which is innovative in the fight against malaria, and from your experience working in the field when you were Minister of Health and also even now as being a member of Rollback Malaria and the Elimination Aid, I mean, you wear so many hats anyways. what can you tell us in terms of the tools that already exist to fighting malaria? You say there is a need for research and new tools. Where are we and what is working and what do you think needs to be stepped up?
Thank you very much indeed. This is quite an exciting subject. You see, advances in new tools that address changes in vector behaviors and transmission patterns are vital if we are to succeed in elimination. But I always advise that an integrated approach would simply be the best. Mm-hmm. Meaning, you address both vector control, you must bring down the vector density, but at the same time, you must make sure that you have the tools that should fight the parasites, meaning you are looking at the drugs to see to it that the susceptibility is in place. So I cannot agree more with the previous speaker there that we need these tools.
That's indeed very good. Now, when you look at your experience when you were a Minister of Health, Namibia had some success stories in terms of fighting malaria. Can you share with us your strategy that was able to put the country forward in the fight against malaria? Perhaps one or two examples briefly.
Thank you very much indeed. In 1990, you will recall we have had the worst malaria epidemic. At the time, we were 1.5 million, and 7,000 died. What did we do? We decided to strengthen our vector control using indoor residual spraying. And with that, we had put in place 75% wettable DDT wettable powder in all the endemic areas of our country. And then in the so-called modern houses, we introduced a deltamethrin. And I can tell you, it worked miraculously. Okay. This DDT, which I sometimes term as the magic powder, we had used it continuously. And so was the case with the case management. With case management, we had constantly, first, we had been using chloroquine. When we saw that it was resistant, we switched over to the current one that we are now using. And then with the combination of case management, training, and then continued indoor residual spraying, we have seen a significant decline.
Okay.
From 7,000 by 2012, we experienced only 4 deaths. But of course, when I say only 4 deaths, I'll be in trouble because one death is just too many deaths.
Yes, indeed.
But it was indoor residual spraying, case management, selective larviciding.
Okay.
With these tools, it has brought us to where we are. Of course, not forgetting what the other colleague there mentioned, and that relates to impregnated bed nets using pyrethroid chemicals.
Yes, yes. So it's...
that has brought us that in 2009,
yes.
I decided to bring our colleagues together. That is the 8 countries, the 4 countries, meaning Botswana, Namibia, Swaziland, South Africa, and that in the northern part of these countries are Angola, Zambia, Zimbabwe, and Mozambique. Because we have only one common enemy, and that is the mosquito, the Anopheles gambiae, Anopheles arabiensis. Working together, sharing the data, sharing the strategies that we use, collaborating, strengthening border collaboration will eventually lead us to malaria elimination. And that's where we are.
Okay.
Today.
This is great.
With the support, of course, of the partners.
Okay.
The Global Fund.
Absolutely.
PEPFAR and other international institutions such as Global Health Group of the University of California,
okay,
under the leadership of Professor Sir Richard Fisher.
Yes.
Together, working together with the support of the media, spreading the good news, I can tell you, I believe that we can eliminate malaria.
Absolutely. And this is very good to stay optimistic. Absolutely. Thank you, Dr. Kamwe. Let me go to Frank Langevin. Frank, Facial Soap is a social startup And it was partly developed by the French engineering school ITEC. Tell us how it's being financed and supported, because one of the issues, and even Dr. Kamui talked about it, investment, more investment is needed in fighting malaria. How is this being supported?
On our side, it's been quite difficult since the project has begun. The project has raised many lots of attention, like 3 years ago when he won like a big prize at the University of Berkeley. But since then, it's been quite difficult being in Burkina Faso to get funding, amazingly, because usually you get like more bigger organization. I mean, being what I say usually is like being a social startup in Africa is like being a penguin in the Sahara. It's quite tough because usually you don't have funding schemes available for those type of initiatives. So right now what we have decided to do is starting a crowdfunding campaign. So meaning like we're relying on donations from private or companies that are willing to give for our project. So the campaign is finishing in about 10 days from now. Mm-hmm. It's running quite well. We have like raised 45,000 euros yet, and it's still growing. So we are pretty satisfied with the way it's working. And after that, we obviously will deal with other supporting organizations that we already mentioned, but that are meant to be for big organizations. So like being small, like a startup in Africa, is not like the best situation to be in.
So when you say that it's been difficult to raise funds, of course, we understand that funding is tough, even for big companies and everything. But do you think people do? It's because the people that have the big monies don't believe in the product, or what is it? Why are the average people going and supporting it through crowdfunding, and then the big monies do not support it?
There are some big money on malaria, but usually it's meant to be used in other types of projects. Obviously we're a bit scared about like bureaucracy, and like we're really into innovation. And when you're dealing with big organizations like maybe USAID or others, we are a bit scared about having that have been called like the checkbox mentality, saying like, okay, we give you this form, but you have to respect exactly these steps. But when you're doing innovation, when you maybe fail on some point, you need to iterate. So you need to change, you know, your view on something and trying to find a better way. So we need to have obviously getting some funding, and we need to have the kind of like the freedom to be as fast as possible to create the most effective repellent soap and safe soap for the people we work for. It's there's big organizations, there's some big money, but being a small in Africa is not easy. So
yeah.
I guess we're gonna become bigger, so obviously this problem won't matter anymore in a few years time, but yeah, right now it's a bit tough.
Okay, and the reality is when you get money from supporters, you know, you do have to follow certain rules. So that's one reality. And Dr. Kamui and Franck Langevin, we will come back. We just have to take a short break for some health tips, and we'll come back to wrap up the discussion. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Now for your health tips with Sanusi Diallo.
Infected mosquito carry malaria and infect people with their bites. Here are some tips that can help you to fight against malaria. Protect yourself, your family and community from mosquitoes. Eliminate standing water in and around your home. Use insect repellent to avoid mosquito bites. Cover your arm, your legs and use a mosquito net. Seek immediate medical advice if you have a symptom similar to malaria, including fever, chill, nausea and vomiting. These are some tips to protect yourself and your family against malaria.
Ah-hoo! Welcome back. If you're just joining us, we are discussing malaria and looking at what is being done and the way forward to reach the elimination of malaria in Africa and globally, really. My guest, Dr. Richard Kamwey, is Elimination Aid Ambassador, and Frank Langevin, who is an entrepreneur and international business it's from the city of Stanford and Dublin City University graduate. Sorry, I messed up a little bit your title. I kind of went backward with your title there, Frank. So I have a question, and let me start with you, Frank. Fatou from Mali is asking, what are some of the ingredients of the Faso soap?
So, like, we are currently benchmarking different essential oils. That's our first target, to find a way to use natural products within our soap. So we're trying to find the most effective and the one that are creating the less allergic, you know, can create allergic problems, you know, because essential oils can be problematic if you use a high volume of it. So what we're trying to do is find a way to be both repellent and safe at the same time. So the thing that we're trying to do is find what is the best combination of essential oil that we should use to and how we should use it, because there's different ways to what we're using is high technology, like cosmetic high technologies, like micro encapsulation. So putting this essential oil is in very small capsules, like of 100 nanometers. So that this capsule will break up progressively and release, you know, these oils on the skin. So that's the thing we're working on. So like natural oils would be my answer.
Okay. And Dr. Kamwey, Alex in Kenya is asking, what is the difference between the Elimination Aid group and the Rollback Malaria?
it's a huge difference. First, Elimination Aid countries. This addresses that there is need for strong regional collaboration that address cross-border malaria transmission and broader health security issues. Will help countries and regions to achieve the elimination goals. Now, you see, the vector mosquito, the mosquito does not carry passports. Therefore, there's need for regional collaboration to strengthen the border activities. Whereas, in the case of rollback malaria, the rollback malaria, that is the WHO's or the World Health Organization's strategy, that they thought there was need that they should have this partnership.
Okay.
Whose ideal is to ensure that the Global Malaria Partnership will respond to country and regional challenges, mobilize action and resources effectively, and that it will establish a new status quo that emphasizes ending malaria for good.
Okay.
And this is for all member states.
Yes. A big
that
difference there.
The difference between the two.
Yes. Okay.
One is regional.
Regional, yes.
But RBM is a partnership globally for all the member states of the WHO.
Okay, Dr. Kamwey, unfortunately, we're out of time. We have to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Richard Kamwey, Elimination Aid Ambassador and former Minister of Health of Namibia. And Frank Langevin, thank you so much. Frank,
thank you.
Thank you for joining us from Paris.
Thank you.
Thank
you
both.
Thank you so much indeed.
All right. I'm your host, Linor Mudu, in
Washington.
Absolutely. I'm your host, Linor Mudu, in Washington. We producer Jackson Vunganyi and Sanusi Diallo for your health tips today. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.